and welcome on to Channel 4's The Real Football Fan Show podcast with me, Robbie Lyle, and also special guest today, Louis, big Chelsea fan, and Toby, massive Tottenham Hotspur fan. The show that's made for the fans. We're back again with two fantastic guests in the studio with me today. I've got Louis from 100% Chelsea. How are you doing, Louis?
I'm not bad. Robbie, yourself?
Good. And I've got Toby from Tapping Football, big Tottenham fan. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm fantastic.
Listen, it's great to have both of you here today. I remember on the TV programme, both of you took part in the fan battle. And I remember on the day, it was war. Even before you guys started going at it, you were going at it already.
It wasn't a war for me. It was easy.
It wasn't easy.
Wasn't it?
See, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. And you're lucky Channel 4 censored my punchline.
Speaking of that,
knocked you out the park.
I'm not lucky. It didn't. I said fair play to you, mate. However, it's because it was censored. You said it was a draw. You said keep it clean. That weren't clean. Why didn't I win?
As you can see, they're still arguing about it. But listen, you guys were full of energy on the show and you were going back and forth arguing all the way, and I loved it, and that's why we've got you in today. We're gonna have a lot of banter on the show, and of course we start off by taking a look back at last weekend's games. And the big game last weekend was of course that one which involved your team, Louis, Chelsea, with Manchester United visiting you guys at Stamford Bridge. It ended up 2-2, a fantastic game. Just before I get your view on it, Louis, let's take a listen back to what the fans had to say after that game. We hear now from Chelsea and Manchester United fans.
It's my guy, bruv. I've been riding for this guy, and everyone's been like, yeah, get him out. Bad attitude, doesn't work hard. He was winning tackles, scored two great goals. Second goal, what a composed finish, bottom bins, yeah. And that's a guy that don't do it in the big games, bruv, apparently, and he can't play at the top level. He's a top quality player. He can get into any team in this league. I don't care. He's that good. And he showed that today. So everyone's saying he needs to leave. He's not good enough. Whatever, innit? Like, do you know what I mean? There you go. There's your Martial pie, bruv.
Do you know what? I put it down to the players. They realised that this at halftime, do you know what? We need to pick ourselves up. So I believe it was the same old United in the first half, but the second half, the players played for themselves. Mm. That's what. I don't think Mourinho had any impact on it. I'll give it to the players, 100% give it to the players, because they're the ones on the pitch. They have to get the job done.
Mm. What is Mike Dean doing? How's he got a job? The guy can control a fucking kid's birthday party, let alone a football match. It's not even like this is a one-time thing. It's like Sean Dyche said it before, like after a Burnley game, that he acts like he owns, like he's deserving of something. He was terrible this game.
What do you think about Alvaro Morata today?
Shocking. You know, for £60 million, you expect, even if you're not scoring, you're contributing something, and he's not contributing anything. It's just, he goes down so easy. He can't shield the ball. He can't hold the ball up. I mean, how long can you keep persisting with this guy and just saying, like, you know, that he's just not good enough?
I mean, usually I hate the fuck off Mourinho chants. I hate anything anti-Mourinho. Today, he deserved it. He was acting like a prat himself. Everyone goes on about be the bigger man. Whatever this coach, physio, whatever said to Mourinho, Mourinho then goes and starts goading the fans. We weren't involved in the beef. Your beef was with the coaching staff. We started chanting fuck off Mourinho after he was flashing the free titles bollocks. He's fucking finished, he is, with this sort of stuff. He's becoming a parody of himself, and it's sad to see, because I love the man, but he does stuff like this. It just makes me despise him a bit.
Wow, so Louis, listen, it was quite an eventful game, and Mourinho at the end really, really losing it. Just before I get to that, were Chelsea lucky to get away with 3 points in that game?
Yes. Yeah, we were. He was asking me, right? Chelsea were lucky to get the draw that game. We dominated the first half, but the game's played over two halves of football. Mourinho figured us out, and you know they applied the pressure. However, the one thing that we were doing that game was we were getting to the edge of the box. We were playing the football that we've been playing this year, and we were fortunate that Ross Barkley was in the right place at the right time to put the ball in the back of the net. And obviously he's been playing absolutely amazingly, but I think the whole event itself, obviously Chelsea versus Manchester United now with Mourinho in charge at Old Trafford, it's a very intense game of football regardless of the what the build-up is or everything. It's a case of...
How comes you guys have turned on the guy that's brought you three trophies? Yeah, you saw him at the end. Like, he was walking off. He was holding his fingers up, signifying free, reminding you guys.
It's disrespectful.
Did you think that was disrespectful, Toby, the way that they were booing Mourinho?
Of course, I hate the guy. I hate the guy. But if I was a Chelsea fan, no matter what, no matter how he left the club in the previous couple seasons, you can never boo him. He is your greatest manager in the Premier League. You can never boo him. Chelsea on the world stage.
Yeah, what I don't appreciate is the fact you're tarring all of us with the same brush because I didn't do it. Because I don't agree with it. A lot of our fans were.
Why are they booing him?
A massive collective of your fans. You have no class. You have no class. I told this to you on the show, and I'm telling it to you again. Some of your fans have nil class.
No, this is what I don't appreciate, right? Every Tottenham fans, Arsenal fans, whoever saying Chelsea fans have no class. Some of your fans have no class.
I agree.
So why are you saying Chelsea only Chelsea fans?
About this specific instance when some of your fans were disrespecting Mourinho.
No. If you're going to tar me with the same brush.
Let me say to both of you, he makes a good point there. Was it classy that the guy he's won three titles for you guys?
Of course it wasn't. This is the point
and you're booing
him. This is the point
and,
I'm trying
you know,
to make.
F off Mourinho and stuff like that.
I don't agree with it. Of course I don't. I'm not going to see. He's won three trophies for us. He's a Chelsea legend, regardless of what's happening. Right now, I don't know what it is. When it was happening, I was a bit confused. I think maybe there was something that happened, because what I understood is something happened behind the dugout where he was basically mouthing off at a load of fans, and it started there and it went around the stadium. I don't understand what happened. I don't agree with it. But, you know, there's not really a lot you can say about it. Clearly, there's a sense of tribalism, of the fact that... you know, I think it's the fact that he's at Manchester United. A few Chelsea fans I've spoken to said they feel that he hasn't said anything good about Chelsea since he's left. You know, he doesn't want anything to do with them. He's classed about us. That's how they feel. If someone disrespects the club and they play from all that kind of stuff, it's not, you know, once you've supported them, that's the issue. That's what they don't like.
Toby, what did you make of the incident, right? At the end of the game, this could have been what sparked it as well, right? In the, you know, there was the coach of Chelsea who ran onto the pitch when Chelsea got that last-minute equaliser. The Chelsea coach, Marco Lanni, who's now been... Yanni, who's now... I know he's got... He's Italian. He's been censored now, right? He's going to get a fine now from the FA, from the Premier League, for what he did. He ran on, he provoked Mourinho, but... Mourinho, the way he reacted, I mean, he jumped up and he went for him. I mean...
Listen, Mourinho had his claws out ready for Ianni. And if I was him, I would have done the same thing. Because you've already gone past him once. The first time he's gone past him, I think he's even like waved like a punch. Not towards Mourinho, but he's waved like a punch.
He's punching in the air.
He's waved a punch at the fact that Chelsea scored. Yeah. But he's doing it so close to Mourinho's face. And then he's come back and I think he said something to Mourinho. Of course Mourinho's going to get angry. This is an angry man on his best days anyway. This is a guy who's very, very grumpy on his best days. So when your team have just scored a late equaliser against his team and you're antagonising him that close, of course he's going to get angry. And he was rightfully fined by the FA. He was rightfully fined.
What do you think? Do you think it was Mourinho was out of order there, Louis? Or do you think...
I think, like Toby's saying, no one would have reacted like that. I would have reacted like that if it was my
team. But you're the manager of a football club. You're supposed to keep your cool.
Sometimes.
If a player reacted like that on the pitch, you'd get sent off. Do you know that?
Yeah, you would. But sometimes pride over everything, because this is a man who's done so much for that club. You've been there 2 minutes. You're a nobody. Mourinho said after the match, he said he didn't even know his name. You're a nobody compared to me at this club. And you have the audacity to do that to me after your team just scored. Where's your respect? Good. He was well within his rights to react the way he did.
Mm. Listen, are you guys too dependent on Eden Hazard? Because he didn't have the greatest of games, did he?
I'm not going to say no to that. Yeah, we are. Because we don't have a centre forward. You've got, I think Giroud's a better.
You've got two centre forwards. You spent a lot of money on them. You spent nearly 70 million on Morata.
We spent peanuts on Giroud.
You bought Giroud. You've got two strikers there.
18 million
is peanuts. Giroud, is in the modern era of football. I mean, if you do your research and, you know, look at the economic factors, mate. It's all right. You know, I think Giroud's a better option in terms of allowing Hazard to flourish.
Mm.
And we saw that when he came on in the game. Alvaro Morata... is dog, quite frankly. He's rubbish. I was one of the people when we signed him, we got really excited, sat there going, oh, it's brilliant. I'm really looking forward to seeing him. You weren't the first person to tell me.
I know.
so I don't take the credit for that, mate.
I'm not, but I did say.
Thank you. All right. You know, he Morata is just, he just doesn't fit the system. He doesn't suit English football. All he does is run his mouth. He's rubbish. And he didn't allow for anything to develop during the game.
Well, listen, at the game, we went along and we asked Chelsea fans, right, about Hazard. We asked them the question, is Hazard now in the same, you know, bracket? Is he in the same class as Messi and Ronaldo? And this is what fans had to say.
No, come on. Stop it.
I know he's got to be a bit more consistent. He's had a good, he's had a brilliant season so far. But I think if you look at Messi and Ronaldo, over they've done it year in, year out. So I think Eden needs to do a bit more.
Yeah, I think especially for the current season, he's like at his best form ever. Like I never seen him playing this way. And if you compare him to Messi and Ronaldo, to especially this season, I'm not talking like in a general way. Yeah, he's in the best form. He's just in the same level with them, I think, for this season. If he stays, he can be like our second Gianfranco Zola. I think he's already in that level. Yep.
Ronaldo and Messi are on the way now. They're on the way down. They've had their time. You know, it's Hazard's time in the next few years, I think, yeah. He's had a bad season when the manager's had a bad season, if you know what I mean. Yeah. You know, first time with Mourinho and then again with Conte. So, yeah, no, I think he can do it, yeah.
So you heard what the fans had to say there. Toby, what do you reckon? Hazard, is he in the same class now as Ronaldo and Messi? You know, you heard Sarri saying the other day that, you know, he reckons he's capable of winning the Ballon d'Or. Is he in the same category for you?
No, no chance. I think maybe for Ronaldo right now, if you had to go off who can offer their team more, you could argue that Hazard right now could offer more than a 33 going 34 year old Ronaldo could offer any team right now in terms of just general play. But if you're talking about match winning ability, sheer quality, no chance.
Ronaldo,
I'm being kind to Hazard, and that's a no. But Messi, forget about it. Like, they're not even in the same, they shouldn't even be mentioned in the same sentence. He's nowhere
some of those
near
Chelsea fans Messi. Think he's no,
no chance. And the thing is, Eden Hazard, I've come to appreciate how much of a quality player he is in the past two seasons. Because even when he won his first league title under Mourinho, I was still saying, I need to see more from him. And I kept that opinion up until the Conte season. Because I think that Conte season, people were saying, oh yeah, Conte really got the best at Eden Hazard because he relieved him of some of his defensive responsibilities. And he did. And he was devastating that season. Kante won player of the year. But me, in my opinion, he was just as good as Kante. Like, he was class. And even last year as well, when they were floundering in the league, there was one player that was always giving it his all. I remember a game when they lost 4-1 to Watford. They were down to 10 men. Bakayoko got sent off. Like, at the game at 1-0, Hazard scores. The goal he scored was a phenomenal goal. And you're thinking, this is a goal that's worthy to win you a match. And they go on and lose 4-1. So clearly, you can see that the guy is a brilliant, brilliant football player. But comparing him to Messi and Ronaldo is a reach. He's not even in Neymar's category.
In that category for you, Louis?
Currently, based on form, I'd say he is the best, if not one of the top three in the world, based on form alone.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're talking in terms of continuity over a few seasons, and no, he's not. He's a very, very, very good player. Top 10, 100%. Mm. But I think when Sadi was saying, you know, it's a case of he's capable of winning the Ballon d'Or. Maybe not this year, maybe another year. Maybe if he does go to Real Madrid, if Conte goes, he won't be going. But if he does go to Real Madrid, if he does go elsewhere, maybe he can. He won't do it in a Chelsea shirt. I think that the biggest thing is, and he came out and said a few weeks ago, and he makes a good point, to win the Ballon d'Or, you need to be in Spain. I mean, you're seeing, obviously, Ronaldo and Messi are banging in goals consistently. We're amazing out there. I'm actually quite glad you didn't raise the whole point of he's not consistent and all of that kind of rubbish.
No.
Because he's been superb consistently for 3-4 years. We have relied on him.
3-4 years, really?
Yeah.
15-16, where was he?
Well, 15-16.
Where was he?
15, outside of 15-16, 3-4 years.
You just said 16, 3-4 years.
16-17, 17-18, he's been mad this year. That's 3 years.
That's 2.5 years.
That's 3 years. That's three different seasons.
They've got to have an argument over
three different seasons. You notice when I'm making my point, you know, you talk over me, but if you, when you're
wrong.
when you're talking, I let you speak. So let me make mine, all right?
Let me quickly just give you some of the results of the other games, running through them quickly. Bournemouth 0, Southampton 0, pretty boring game that was. Cardiff getting their first win of the season. They won 4-2 over Fulham. Fulham in trouble at the moment. They really need to start getting some wins together. Man City 5-0 winners over Burnley. They certainly are looking like a team that are going to win this league this season. Newcastle as well, another team that's struggling. Another defeat for Rafa Benitez. Louis laughing there, ex-Chelsea manager. But Brighton beating them by 1-0. Wolves, surprise defeat at home to Watford. They lost 2-0. Huddersfield beating Liverpool. Losing 1-0 to Liverpool. And again, Huddersfield, another team that's really, really struggling. Everton 2-0 winners over Crystal Palace. Another team really, really struggling. My team, Arsenal, with a fantastic win. 3-1 over Leicester. And Tottenham, Toby, your team, scraping a 1-0 over West Ham. Were you a bit fortunate to get away with the 3 points there?
Very, very fortunate. Scraping, struggling, but we did what we could to get the 3 points.
Even though you guys are not particularly playing well, a lot of Tottenham fans are saying at the moment, it's your best start so far ever to a Premier League season.
Yeah.
What can Tottenham do this year? Is this the year that Pochettino is finally going to win something?
I think he can definitely win something, but I've always thought he could have won something in the past probably two seasons. I think a cup win is definitely within our reach. As far as the Premier League is concerned, I think it's a step too high for us, because I can't see anyone topping this Man City side this season. They're just absolutely devastating. I know,
but Pochettino has to win something now, isn't
it? Of course.
Everybody recognises that he's a top-class manager, but it still looms that he's not won anything. Louis, what do you think? He's not won anything yet. Do you rate him?
I think Pochettino's a good coach in terms of nurturing talent. However, he just doesn't seem to have that edge. I think I don't put it all on him. I think Daniel Levy's got a lot to blame. He's got to take a lot of the blame. You know, the whole wage structure and all that. Pochettino's made clear points saying he doesn't agree with it, and they lost out this summer to big players because of that wage structure, because people didn't want to come to Tottenham. Talking about, you know, saying should he win something this year, it's the same team as last year. They haven't improved, whereas everyone else has. Obviously Arsenal, we would talk about already.
Alright, but maybe you're right, that's maybe for the league, but what about a League Cup? What about a young FA Cup
or a Poxy Carabao Cup? I would take anything right now. We need a trophy.
A Poxy Carabao Cup, you ain't won it.
I know we haven't won it, and I won it.
Last time you were in the final, we beat you. The last time you won it was 2008 against us.
No, we beat you in the final in 2008.
Yeah, you didn't beat us in 2015.
Oh, yeah, 2015, 2-0, yeah.
Nice one, mate.
I blocked that one out of my head.
Alright, listen, let's get into the baller and the waste man of the week. We do it on the TV show. We do it here on the podcast. That's the person, player or team as baller that were absolutely outstanding last week. I've got three candidates. Let's see what you guys think of this. Candidate number one, Martial of Manchester United. 2 goals in the game. He looked brilliant. We keep thinking to ourselves, why is this guy not doing it every week? Is it him? Is it Mourinho? It was a great performance by him. Cardiff, they got their first win of the season on... I keep hearing people going on about Newcastle and the limited amount of players they've been able to buy. Cardiff, limited, basically a championship team, isn't it? And they got their first win out of the bottom three as well. So candidate number three, Mesut Ozil. I thought he had a fantastic game the other night. Six goals, he was back to his best. Yeah, the winner? Who would you make the winner?
Martial, I
thought Martial as well. Then he said Ozil.
Yeah.
But Ozil,
the way he influenced that this week, obviously, basically, he does pop in and out. You know, he goes to the shops and he comes back whenever he wants. But this week alone, Ozil, just he absolutely demolished that Leicester team.
Honestly.
He was superb. That third goal you scored, absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
he could have had that free assist that match as well. Just if not for Lacazette's finishing too.
And the winner of Baller of the Week is Cardiff City. Brilliant performance by them out of the bottom three. Well done to Cardiff. Now time to get into the Waste Man of the Week. That's the person, player, team that's been absolutely rubbish. A waste of time this week. Candidate number one, Newcastle. No wins yet this season. Moaning all the time about lack of players and that. But look, as I said, look at Cardiff. Look what they've done. Poor by Newcastle. Candidate number two, Marco Ianni. Have I pronounced that right?
Yes.
Ianni, the Chelsea coach who run onto the pitch, you know, pumping his fists and that and saying things at Mourinho, which was well out of order. And candidate number three, Mourinho.
Ah, oh, come on.
Lack of self-control. Nah, control yourself.
You've got to take Mourinho out of that. Take Mourinho out of that.
Listen, as I said to you guys earlier, if a player did that, he'd have got sent off. You've got to control yourself.
What about...
You've got to control yourself. And not only that, Mourinho, how many times has he done that? How many times has he run down... Remember at Man United that time he ran and he slid in front of the United fans.
This is
he's walking off, he's waving three fingers. He's in there.
To be honest, Ianni, Mourinho, they organised it. It's done now. Leave it. As you know, there's no point to continue.
Well, it's not done as far as I'm concerned because the winner is Marco Ianni, out of order, running onto the pitch.
No.
Pumping your fist.
You are
the waste man of the week. Final.
No. What about Newcastle? I haven't even discussed that. I understand why people say Marco Ianni. I understand Jose Mourinho. But to be honest, I'm saying it's done. Why? There's no point to continue raising it. They dealt with it in-house. The FA have dealt with it. It's a done story. There's no point bringing it back up. Talking about Newcastle, Rafa Benitez is coming out and blaming... He's coming out and basically firing shots at Mike Ashley and saying it's his fault, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, Rafa Benitez, Newcastle fans are now turning on Rafa Benitez as well. You know, Newcastle are in a rut. Yeah.
You are right, Nick. You make some great points with Newcastle, but it's my show and I'm going to Ianni and that's it. It's done. Right, listen. We caught up with Troy Deeney the other day at the Watford training ground. Always a great guy to speak to. Let's hear what Troy Deeney had to say. Robbie here for the Real Football Fan Show. I'm here with a legend. What are you laughing for? You're a legend, man. Watford legend, Troy Deeney, captain of Watford.
Thank you. I'm just Troy, the normal person that happens to play football.
Now listen, on our show, it's all about football fans.
Yep.
What is the team that you supported from you as a kid? What's your team?
My team's Birmingham City. Was there when we beat you guys at Wembley.
Why do you have to come and say that
I'm
now?
I'm just saying, I'm before Bobby Martins with a tapping. I'm on video, like...
Because I was
here then, actually. That would have been, 4 or 5 years ago? And I was here. But I'm in a suit, like, going mad.
Yeah.
And Scotty Daniel, who I used to play with at Warsaw, he was obviously that Blues. He's on crutches. And, like, we just had a little embrace. It was a good day. It was a good day for us, though.
Yeah, what a good day. It wasn't a good day. The team that you go to and the fans give you the most stick, where's that?
It's a tough one. It was always Aston Villa, obviously, for the rivalry with Blues. And I scored three in the season that they got relegated.
I remember one time. And you milked it as well, didn't you?
Yeah. Because they were giving me, like, the kind of person I am, I enjoy banter, like, and I enjoy people giving me stick because not only can I take it, I can give it back. So, like, in Birmingham, it was kind of, I knew if we didn't win or if I didn't score, then, like, I couldn't go to any pub. Like, you know, like, I was just going to get ripped. So, yeah, that was a bit of back and forth. But then obviously now it's got the whole Arsenal thing because of the stuff we did last season. But I enjoyed that game. Like, I genuinely buzzed off that game.
You like it, innit? You love when you're getting a load of stick. You like that banter, don't you?
Yeah, of course. And it makes me, like, want to shove it in your face a bit more. But also I'm humble enough that, like, you know, like when we lost, I come on your show and stuff after I spoke to you boys downstairs. Yeah, I don't hide from it. Like when I'm good, I'm good. When I'm bad, I'm still good. So for me, I just you gotta be able to take it in it. So it's all bad at the end of the day. No one's gonna put their hands on me, and I'm not gonna put their hands on anybody else. So let's just promote some peace in it.
What do you think of fans' opinions? Because you know nowadays, you know, I mean, so many platforms out there where fans get to have their say. It never used to be like that, but no. You as players now, you can hear directly from fans or with all these different social media platforms?
Again, depends on the characters because I've read a lot of things recently, like players like saying I've had to delete my Twitter and this kind of thing because of abuse. But the way I am is, like, if you can't take it, then you shouldn't have been on it in the first place. You can't take the good like when you, so like for example, we played well against Spurs. So if I'm just going to milk it then and go, ah, we're great. When we lose to, let's just say we lose to Arsenal, for example, I then can't go, ah, I'm not going to go on social media today. You've got to be able to take it both sides of the coin. But I grew up in a pub environment. So I used to go, I still do, go and watch the games. Like on a Super Sunday, I'll go sit with my mates and I enjoy different people's perspective of football because like me and you watching football see it completely different. It doesn't mean you're right, I'm wrong and vice versa. So I enjoy it.
Now listen, we're fans, right? There's a bit of a divide between football fans and players. And I know that you're kind of one of those players that breach that divide. But there is a divide sometimes where fans feel that footballers like yourself don't understand fans, don't understand what we're going through, don't understand that we've travelled hours to that game, got there, you got beat, and you didn't even come over and clap. I'm not saying you, you know, these sort of things happen. Do you think that's improving?
I think so. With social media, I think the gap is bridging down. Again, like I say, with the good and the bad, people have started to actually take attention now, like, we're human beings as well at the same time. So while it's a frustration from a fan's perspective that a player has not come over and clapped, for example, like I can understand from a player's perspective, you might not even be thinking about the fans. You might be like, if you're emotionally involved in a game like I am, in your head you're like, oh man, how did we lose that game? And like, you're kind of beating yourself up and you're probably just like, just get me off this pitch. That kind of, and it's not, I don't think it's a disrespect towards the fans. Me personally, win, lose or draw, I always go and clap because I just appreciate everyone coming out to see me. And again, I've been a paying customer that side, so I think it just resonates with people that, like, I've done it before and I do it and then I stop doing it, like giving like boots away and stuff. More when we lost, more of a like, you know, we appreciate you coming. I know we were rubbish today. Here's a little something. That's what I used to do, but then I got a stick for doing it. And I just thought, you know what, I can't win either way. So now I'll just do it as a when I feel like it, to be fair.
Now, listen, final question for you. I was reading the other day that you've lost over a stone in weight.
Yeah.
Right? And you are looking trim, I've got to say, right?
Thank you very much.
Now, any tips for me? I need to drop some pounds, man. Ain't got any tips for me, man?
Green tea is the way forward at the moment. No, do you know what I did? You've got to want to do it. Like my mum and I'd be like, oh, and can you get your nutritionist to do this? I'm like, mum, if you don't want to do it, if you enjoy your lifestyle, you enjoy your yard food or whatever, you're going to keep eating it. So there's no point forcing yourself to go, oh, I'm going to go on this diet.
You're not saying I've got to give that up, are you? I've got to give up the wasting in food.
You have to. I've given up sugar and alcohol was a big one for me. So that
no alcohol either.
Now I'm like every international break, I'll have a good go. No, anything that tastes good, just no. So just become accustomed to having meat and veg with a little bit of couscous or something like that. So, but it's beneficial, isn't it? Now I'm getting all the rewards for it. So like it's a mindset thing for me as well.
Listen, keep up the good work. I'm going to pass on all that, right? But keep up the good work.
Thank you very much,
and thank you very much for the interview today. Thank you.
Anytime, you guys.
Brilliant there from Troy Deeney. You know, I love Troy Deeney. Love Troy Deeney as a footballer. And he's one of those footballers that all fans, well, some fans hate him, right? But everybody sort of feels him, don't they?
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy, man.
He's a proper bloke. That's why, proper bloke.
Now, listen, time to look ahead to the weekend's games. And we're going to do a bit of challenge Robbie as well. Flex, Man United fan who came on last week, actually beat me in challenge Robbie. Sorry to say, you know what I mean? You know where I lost it as well?
Where?
It's your boys, Louis. Chelsea. They let me down.
Which to win?
I went for Chelsea winning that game by 2-1. Flex went with a 1-1 draw, and that's what got him over the line. He even predicted the proper score in the Arsenal game as well. I went 2-1, he went 3-1. So Flex beat me, but you guys are going to take me on this week. First game we're looking at, and I want to get your views on this game as well, Toby, is the big one. Spurs versus a rampant Manchester City. This is a big, big test for Pochettino and Spurs. City are flying. Are you confident?
No. If I'm being honest, I'm not confident at all. I'm going to go there, support my team, and I'm going to cheer us on and hope we can get a result. But if you had to ask me, am I confident? No. they're just...
You've done all right against them before in the past, though. You've got a decent record against them.
We used to, but last season showed you the real Guelph in class. I think two seasons ago, back in 16, 17, I remember it was Pep's first season, and City were on a 6 or 7 game win streak in the league. They came to the lane and our press was just like, they couldn't live with us. Like we got at them at every turn, at every moment, and like we were thoroughly deserved winners 2-0. But last year we tried to play that way at Etihad. We got slaughtered 4-1. Mm. And then we tried to play the same way at Wembley. We lost 3-1, and on another day it could have been 7-8-1, like chance after chance. And I just think with the quality in their team, the way we've been playing this season, and a player we're missing badly, Vertonghen, I think Davinson Sanchez is going to... I love him, but I think he's going to struggle against Man City on Monday. And I think Eric Dier in our midfield, I don't think he's going to be able to touch David Silva, Kevin De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva. I think any Spurs fan going to that match, just pray we can get a draw.
Give me your prediction on it. Give me your prediction on that game.
I'm going with the same score as last season, 3-1.
3-1 to City?
Yeah, I think we'll score. But wow. I can't see us stopping them from scoring. No way. No chance.
What about you, Louis? Prediction?
I'm going to go 3-1 City as well.
3-1 City. I think it'll be closer than that. I'm going to go 2-1 City. I think it will be...
You're being kind.
You are. I'm a pessimist.
No, because I think that game's going to be closer than what people think.
I hope so.
But I think City probably just about get over the line on it. Manchester United versus Everton. That's another really tasty game. United's still not really on all cylinders. Everton, had a good win last weekend. What do you reckon, Louis?
I mean, Everton, they struggled against Palace and they had to get the two late goals to beat them. They're not looking amazing. They're looking okay. Manchester United, I just think, will just have that little bit of class on them. It's Man United at home, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going 1-0 United on that. They'll grind it out, but they'll get the win.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going 2-1.
2-1.
I think Everton United will score. Yeah, 2-1 Man United. I think Everton will score, but I'm going 2-1 Man United.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, actually, I was sort of thinking to myself, maybe Everton could sneak something, but when I really think about it, United have got a great record against Everton at home, and you can't go against United winning this one. But I do think it's going to be a lot closer than that. I think I'm going to go 2-0 Manchester United. Fulham versus Bournemouth. Here's one for you. Fulham, they need a win. They've not been performing well at all this season.
That's a tricky one.
Bournemouth are a team that, you know, they can tear up. They went the other day to Watford and beat them 4-0, absolutely ripped them apart. And that was when Watford, would up until then, were performing brilliantly at home.
Well, to be honest, I think this game depends on how Djokanovic sets up his defence, because what he did on the weekend against Cardiff was suicide. He was playing Callum Chambers right wing back, then right back. This guy that was playing centre back all pre-season for Arsenal. He had Alfie Mawson, who's a left-sided centre back, on the bench with Tim Ream starting ahead of him. Tim Ream, who had an absolute shocker against Cardiff. Tim Ream, who was unreliable on his best day. Get your defence right. Just get your defence right and let's build from there, because he's got goals up top in Mitrovic. Mm. He's got goals in Schürrle. He's got goals in Sessegnon. Get your defence right. And you may be able to get a result. That being said, I'm going to go for Bournemouth 2-1.
2-1? Louis?
Djokanovic is a dead man walking. He's a dead man walking.
You reckon because there's a lot of people saying if he loses this game, that could be...
He is.
That could be more or less it. He could get the... The season's only just started. Yeah, you've got to give him a chance,
isn't it? They spent £100 million in the summer. £100 million.
Yeah, but that's a lot. It doesn't matter if it's £100 million. All these players have got a gel, haven't they?
I understand that, but he had an existing 11... which he's just added little bits to. He's had little bits of class. These players have had time to gel. They started well. The team is there. It's just the way he's setting up, as Toby's already said. He's not setting up in the right manner. You know, he's like, Callum Chambers at right wing back. On his best day, Callum Chambers isn't a good player anyway. So it's a case of, you know, come on, he's not that.
He's right.
It's a case.
Oh, you're agreeing now?
No, I'm agreeing. Callum Chambers isn't a good player on his best day.
No, but I think they're going to lose this.
Prediction.
Josh King's going to absolutely run riot. I'm going to go 3-1.
3-1 to Bournemouth. Mm-hmm. I'm going against the grain here. I'm going to go for a Fulham win. They need a win. They're going to play for the manager in this game. Seri's going to step up. Mitrovic's going to step up. I'm going for a 2-0 win to Fulham.
Okay.
Bournemouth.
The defence is going to keep a clean sheet. You don't miracles are going to happen. No. Right? 2-0. Let me just run you quickly through the other games. Brighton versus Wolves, Southampton, Newcastle, Liverpool, Cardiff, Watford versus Huddersfield. That's a big one for Huddersfield. Leicester, West Ham, and Burnley versus Chelsea. All right, so that's a big game. And Crystal Palace versus Arsenal as well. So some great games there over the weekend. Guys, got you here in the studio, right? Of course, I suppose we're all looking at and thinking more or less City and Liverpool, one of them two are going to challenge to win the league. Is it, you reckon, or do you think Chelsea got a chance to win
it? No, we ain't got a chance. We ain't got some forward.
So if you don't think that Chelsea are going to win, which London team is going to finish the highest?
It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Who's going to be the Kings of London?
I'd go currently based on form, but then it's you've got
who's
going to
be
row.
The Kings of London?
Us. I've just got to say us.
You're saying Chelsea?
Yeah. We've been the Kings of London for the
past. You're saying Spurs?
I'm going Spurs. We'll tick. Once we get
what about Arsenal? Why are no one's mentioning Arsenal?
Arsenal are good. Well, they're looking good right now, but you're just so suspect at the back, man.
I don't know. So
you're writing off Arsenal again?
No, I am writing off Arsenal. I've damn near put £300 down for multiple friends that we are going to finish above Arsenal and Arsenal are not going
to. Are you like to lose your money?
Yeah, no.
I'm going to win money. We're going to finish above Arsenal.
No, I think we're going to finish above you this year.
I mean,
I think Arsenal are going to finish above Tottenham this year.
I can't see it.
I think Arsenal are going to get into the top four.
As a neutral in this conversation between the two of you, obviously Chelsea will finish above both of you anyway, that's fine. But I think Hang on. I'm about to back you, Robbie. Don't be careful, all right? I think the reason people write Arsenal off is because it's still this mentality of Wenger. The people, they still think the Wenger's there. That's whenever I speak to people, it's like, yeah, but it's not Wenger. And they go, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Don't think about it that way. Unai Emre has got them ticking.
He has them ticking. It's not just Wenger, though. We are actually watching some of these games. Arsenal were thoroughly deserved winners in the end, but look at what it took for them to win the match, going 1-0 down. Leicester could have been 2-3-0.
Hold on. Listen, I keep hearing this all the
it's
time.
It's true, though. Right? Watford,
let me just say,
Everton,
you're seeing...
How many chances conceded? Come on.
Hold on. You're seeing a different type of Arsenal this season. A team that will let the other team have the ball, right? And are defending better. Teams, of course.
They're not defending better. Come on.
Leicester did not have a lot of clear-cut chances in that game. Clear-cut. Yeah, they had chances, but they didn't have a lot of clear-cut chances because they were defending.
Do you want me to count
and
them?
Arsenal, in Aubameyang and Lacazette, right, and Ozil, have got some very devastating players going forward.
Capable
of hurting teams.
Ozil needs to turn up.
Yeah.
He doesn't always turn up. He's a great player. I'm not saying he's not. But he's not there every single
Tottenham
week.
Tottenham and Chelsea, I do think Chelsea are ahead of Arsenal at the moment, but I think Arsenal are going to finish ahead of Tottenham.
Funny that.
We'll see. It's going to be interesting anyway, because Arsenal, as you said, Emery has got Arsenal ticking now. And for all your defensive frailties, the goals are free-flowing now.
And your defence ain't been that great, Tottenham.
It hasn't, but
Cardiff.
We've kept three clean sheets now back-to-back.
Against Cardiff. You didn't really deserve to get anything out of that game.
I agree, but we were missing our best centre-back over the past two seasons, so allow us that gap for it.
Who is the biggest club in London?
Yeah, that's an easy
one. It's Chelsea.
That's easy.
As much as it pains me to say it, it's Chelsea.
All right, but over the past 2 years, in terms of the team that's been the best in overall, it's been Tottenham. League form. You know, I think that's a key word, league. Obviously, last season they were superb. They finished by both of us. We won the league the season before. You know, we were fantastic. We're a great team. But Tottenham consistently performed as well. It comes down to basically this year, I think Chelsea and Arsenal were in a state of transition. I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with us. But, you know, Tottenham are falling behind and I'm loving life.
We'll see how far we fall behind this season, because it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a great season. Listen, all the teams are up there. They're all performing really well. Looking forward to this weekend's games. Listen, I want to thank you guys for coming on. Thank you, Toby. Big Tottenham fan. I can't wish you luck for the rest of the season. You know that. You know it goes already, man. But it's always great to have you on, man. It's a pleasure. Man. And Louis, thank you as well.
Tough having me.
You know, thank you. And listen, can't wish you luck either. You know how it goes. No, it's a standard football banner thing. I can't be wishing.
I don't need you to wish me luck. I'm quite happy, mate.
Thank you, guys. You've been listening to Channel 4's The Real Football Fan Show podcast. Make sure that you subscribe, rate us, and review us. It's very important. And don't forget to watch The Real Football Fan Show on all four. You can catch up on things like the amazing fan battle that we had between Toby and Louis. That was brilliant. Made for the fans.